Boy, this is a very interesting time that we live in. You know, by the way, I'm Tom Seppel. I'm filling in for Pastor King, right? Pastor King. And hopefully he's enjoying some time off and some little vacation. We prayed for rain, and look at, I thought we were going to be outside today, and look at, so God has answered our prayer, the prayer of the farmers. Do we have any farmers in here today? All right, we got one family, but you know what? They're crying out for rain, and I think that's probably a good thing that it's raining today. And you know what? I love the songs he selected, because we won't be long this morning, because I think it's kind of warm in here. How many are warm? And I'll know to quit when I see people going off like that, nodding off to sleep here. But it is a joy. I always enjoy coming back here to Elmont. It's a beautiful community. You have a very wonderful community, and it's a place where people can come and hopefully raise their families and enjoy some good community and some good times together. But you know, we live in this world that is filled with all kinds of confusion today. And before we jump into the message this morning, sharing hope in crisis is what I'm talking about this morning. And hopefully this word will be very applicable to where we're all at today. And we can leave this place encouraged in the word in spite of the crises that we're facing. So let's just pray before we start here this morning. Father, I thank you for the privilege that you give myself and my wife, Brenda, to come here to Elmont. We ask, Lord, that first of all, that you'd bless Pastor King and family as they're traveling and maybe even piercing in here and viewing the online live stream this morning. But Lord, we ask that your hand would be upon them. Thank you, Lord, for men and women that are faithful in service for the Lord, and they're faithfully carrying the gospel and proclaiming the gospel that would go forth. Now I pray, Lord, this time that we have, short time this morning, that you would open our eyes that we can behold wondrous things from your word. Open our ears so that we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. We thank you for your word, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and that we can receive encouragement and direction and purpose and hope as we look into your word. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You believe this morning, don't you? I think we're all believers here. You wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning in a hot, humid day if you didn't believe. But if you're joining us even by live stream, we want to encourage you to look at the Scripture as we look into God's Word this morning briefly. And we want to encourage people that no matter what crisis is that we're facing in this world, we can look to God's Word and receive direction, encouragement, and strength to go on and to face the circumstances and the crises that we're facing today. In preparation for this message today, I was talking with our sheriff, and this would probably be in St. Clair County. We're in Lapeer County, aren't we? So it's a little different here. But I was sharing with him and asking him, I said, Sheriff, I said, what do you see is the biggest situation, the biggest problem that we're facing in our day? And I was a little taken back. He's not necessarily the most, what should I say? He has a fear and a respect for the Lord. But he's not necessarily probably the one that you would go to kind of get spiritual direction. But he said something very profound that stuck with me. I thought he might say that, you know, what that drug abuse is a huge issue, or that maybe even domestic violence or something along those lines, or some type of a crime, killing or whatever. And he said that he sees that the biggest problem that our county, and I would say our counties face, our state faces, our nation faces, is hopelessness. Isn't that interesting? Hopelessness. People have no hope for tomorrow. They have no vision of what tomorrow might look. And what does hope even mean? Definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. A person or thing that may help or save someone. Grounds for believing that something good may happen. That's what hope is. And when you don't have any hope, when you're looking at the crisis, man, we're facing this coronavirus. Did you ever think that we would ever be in the situation that we're facing today with this coronavirus? I mean, I never dreamed. I mean, I've been through some things, but boy, when the whole nation, can you imagine this? The whole nation has bowed its knee. The silent and the invisible enemy has caused this greatest nation on the earth to bow its knee and to stop everything. I would have never guessed that. Would it stop professional athletes and sports? Really? Come on. What would ever stop, you know, the big money machine from stopping and from going on? And then to precipitate that, then we have the race issues. Now, you might, I don't know if you're experiencing a lot of it here in Elmont, but in Port Huron, we have experienced some of those issues to a great degree. Not anything near the big cities, right? But can you imagine that we would ever see in our nation 12 to 13 of the largest cities in our country has bowed its knees to this hate and this vicious discrimination and this race problem that we are facing today. And then we have anarchists that will rise up and start to take control of big cities and start to say to the police that we're going to take this city, you're not going to touch us. And then to have mayors say, well, we don't want to hurt you. We'll just go ahead and do that. We don't want to hurt anybody. And you see anarchy rising up and coming against the rule of law. And you see all these things that I don't think are scriptural, right? Not that I think that, you know, maybe we've got it all together politically. You know, I mean, we're divided. You dare not talk anything about politics with people because you could probably get slapped or slugged or whatever. It just blows my mind. So we live in a crisis situation in this world that we're facing. And this scripture that we have for our main text here in John chapter 16, and I'm not going to go to all of this, so you, if you're writing notes, please write these scriptures down that I'm going to give to you, because I think that this is going to be something that we can look to, that you can look at this week and maybe browse through these scriptures and find some hope and find some encouragement as we look into God's Word. The verse here in John 16, this is Jesus talking about some of the end days that we're living in and some of the problems that we are facing. And very interesting what John has to say, what Jesus said here in John chapter 16. It says this. And I will look at here at verse... this is Jesus, and he says to his disciples about, you know, the events that are happening in their world at that time. And he says, do you believe, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour's coming. Yes, the hour has come, and you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. How many want peace today? I want peace today. That in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Are we experiencing some tribulation here? I mean, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, you might think it's strange that, you know, that we have all this trials and tribulation and persecution and the crises that we're facing. But we're not to be overcome by that. We're not to dwell on that. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really don't really even like to watch the news anymore because it's all negative. It's just all nothing but negative news. We need to think on these things. Whatsoever is pure, lovely, just, virtuous, pure. If there be any praise, if there be any good report, we need to dwell and think on these things. That's so important that we need to think on the good things that God has done for us. So the point is, number one, just basic 2 points today. There are times in the lives of every believer that we will have to deal with trials and tribulations and hopelessness. Now, by a show of hands, how many of here have had trials and tribulations and maybe even crises that you have faced in your life? Raise your hand. Is there? Just about everybody. Isn't that something? My son, who is a doctor on the west side of the state, before this coronavirus hit, was doing very well. When that hit, he had 2/3 of his patients not come. And he's just getting going, his practice and his wife, and they're in desperate situation financially. I mean, you look at that and it's like, whoa, crisis situations that we're facing. How many know, I mean, you that are here that maybe have investments in the stock market, in just 2 weeks we saw a 10,000 point drop in the market. And we're going, oh my goodness, there goes my retirement. And you see where I'm talking about. We're faced on many different fronts, crises that we face. I was going to read this. I'm not going to read this. I was just reading yesterday in the Daily Bread. How many have the Daily Bread? And you kind of look at the Daily Bread. If you saw yesterday's message, I thought it was really kind of a neat little story where this man was facing a crisis because his 17-year-old daughter died. Talk about facing a crisis and facing hopelessness and facing those type of challenges. My son-in-law and my daughter, they lost their niece, their 17-year-old or 18-year-old niece in a car accident recently. Got killed in a car accident. Talk about hopelessness. Her parents were about to go into ministry, and now they're facing the loss of one of their two children. Talk about discouragement. Talk about that type of crisis that people face today, financially, physically. How many in here know people that are suffering and maybe with the coronavirus? Is there anybody in here that have seen that? Just one or so? We've seen quite a bit over our way. In fact, one of my workers, all right, got hit. It's just unbelievable. Sickness that we face. We deal with people that are coming off of drugs. How many know that isolation is the worst thing for drug addicts to be found in? We're working with a recovery community over in Port Huron. And they've got about 100 that they're working with. And when you say self-distancing and staying away, that's saying to these people that are dealing with addiction, that's saying, go ahead and use more. We've had 5 to 7 deaths of overdoses because of isolation and being left. I mean, you could go on and on. We don't necessarily want to leave here being discouraged by what we're facing. But in this world, we will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. How can we be of good cheer when we face these crisis situations? You know, David, this is a particular scripture here in Psalm 142. If you want to turn to it, I thought that David, here King David describes this situation, his situation that he was facing. Crisis situations are not uncommon, right? I mean, it's a part of life. And here we have King David, who was not yet, while he was anointed to be king, he was running for his life from King Saul. 7 years. Can you imagine that? Here David, the appointed and anointed king, next king of Israel, was running for his life because the king, Saul, wanted to kill him. And so he writes this in Psalm 142. I thought this was very, very appropriate. He said, I cried out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaints before Him. I declare before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, You knew my path. In the way in which I walked, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to You, O Lord. I said, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise Your name. The righteous shall surround me, for You shall deal bountifully with me. That's something. Here he is in the situation that he was facing, that he was running for his life, and his band of men, I don't know if you remember this in Scripture also, in his 7 years of wandering in the desert there, where Brenda and I, we happened to have the privilege of going and being there. And Gedi was a favorite little spot, a respite for him to enjoy the waterfalls and the pond. And so here he would just be running for his life, catching a little rest and a little respite and going on and running. And if you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David was with his men. They were fighting. They were coming back to their city, Ziklag. And what was happening there in Ziklag, they saw afar off as they were coming to their city, smoke was coming out from a distance. And they came into the city. And they found out all of their family, their wives, their children, and their livestock were gone. Can you imagine? You have 400 men and yourself coming into a city and finding everything that you own burned to the ground and everything that you owned is gone. And your wife and your kids and your livestock are gone. In fact, his men got so mad at David, they wanted to stone David because of him bringing him out in the wilderness and fighting. And here's the point. David said this. He went away by himself and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Can you imagine that? Have you ever been to a point where everything has been taken away from you? And it's like Job, even though You slay me, Lord, yet I'll trust You. And if we hang on to hope that tomorrow is going to be a better day than what we're facing, the word says that he has not seen his righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. We need to hold on to the promises and the scriptures and what he says in his word. And in spite of those circumstances that we face, we need to look to him, the author and the finisher. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even though it looks like he has forsaken you. And as Job did, what Job, he received five times more than what he had taken away from him because he continued to put his faith and his trust in the Lord. We need to continue, in spite of the circumstances that we're facing, we need to continue to look to him and put our trust in him. The word also says in Jeremiah 29:11, this is probably one of the verses that probably have been overused, but it's a great scripture. Because it says, the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Isn't that something? Psalm 139, he says, all the days ordained for us to be have already been written in his book before one of them has come to be. That is an awesome scripture. I love that scripture. So does God have a plan for your life? You bet he's got a plan for your life. Is it to harm you and is it to take away from you? No. The thief, John 10:10 says, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Many times we blame God for all the bad things. We need to look to the enemy of our soul, and it is Satan himself who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. In that very same verse, Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. So we need to continue to put our faith, our trust, our hope in the Lord, because he will grant us the abundant life. Point two, and then even in my closing here, because I don't even have my watch. I don't even hold time. I think Pastor Bill told me I had about an hour and hour 15, was it? Oh, just an hour. Okay. Point two. Point one was, you know what? There will be times that each of us will face crisis situations. Point two. We as believers must speak up in the midst of the hopeless crisis. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that lies within us. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of people that come up to me and say, why are you so happy all the time? I say, you got an hour? I can talk to you and I'll tell you why I'm happy. In spite of the circumstances, he said, you never have a frown. And they don't know me all that well, right? But I guess every time that I'm out in the community, I do have a smile because it's the hope that Christ has given us. That we're not losers. We're not defeated. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And we can go and give hope to those who ask us for the reason of the hope that lies within us. So we must be able to give a word of encouragement to everyone who comes to us in spite of the circumstances. As I told you that my daughter and my son-in-law, that family, they are pastoring today and standing up thanking God in spite of their daughter's passing. And God's blessing has rested upon them. And they have been able to help hundreds of people. The church is starting to grow and it's starting to thrive. And in spite of those circumstances that you, even though you slay me, Lord, yet I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to give an answer. I'm going to give an answer to everyone who asks me. So instead of when the experts said about COVID, that they expected over 2 million people to get this virus, and I don't know if it will or not. You know what? We need to say, in spite of the COVID, only 5% of the people in our nation have gotten this virus. We don't need to dwell on the negative aspect. In spite of the circumstances, we need to look at, not to say that anything positive about it, not to diminish anything of COVID, but when you look at flu and you look at cancer, you look at all these other things that take people's lives, we need to look to the Lord for help and strength. He is our deliverer, and we need to give a word of encouragement and hope. Instead of looking at the racial issues that we have, you know what? We put together, and I don't know if you had one here or in the area, we put a march of unity together. Not a protest. We put a march for unity against the injustices that have been done. We had over 1,000 people join us in this march for unity and coming together. So you don't need to look at the negative aspect. You need to put a positive spin and communicate to people that we are marching together in unity because all men are created equal in God's eyes. And we need to stand up for righteousness, and we need to speak the truth in love and not try to diminish anything. You know, the stock market, it fell 10,000. You know, it's been up 8,000 points from the 10,000. You know, we don't need to look at the negative aspect of it financially. Thank God my son, he said that he's doing better now than what he was before this COVID hit. You stand in the midst of the storm, as we even sang this morning, in the midst of the storm as we stand, and we believe that He is our Father. We believe that He is Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit because He's given us new life. He died, He was buried, He rose again to give us new life. And so we need to have that encouragement that people can have hope and that there's a future for every life on the planet. Even the rain. Here's another good one. You know, I've worked with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association for the last couple of years as their state coordinator. And, you know, I don't know if Pastor told you, but I was one of the front runners for him coming here in August to Flint. I don't know if he said anything to you about that. But they had to cancel his trip. He was doing a 9-city tour in this area. Franklin Graham, under the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And the thing about it was, is like, man, isn't that negative? I mean, he can't even come to Michigan to share the gospel. How many have seen his commercials, his one little minute commercials on TV recently? Just a one, two. He's put in, I think, two or three different 1 minute commercials on the three major networks. And Brenda, you correct me here. Wasn't it 17,000? Wasn't it? Over 17,000 people have called in for prayer, accepting Christ as a result of his 1 minute TV commercial section, talking about the hope that God has for people in this crisis situation. Isn't that something? 17,000 people. I mean, I'm praising the Lord because what the enemy can mean for harm, God can turn things around and within minutes do what the enemy thinks he stopped. God can multiply and do it 100 times more than what we had ever think or even imagine. Isn't that something? 17,000 people have come to Christ as a result. So we're continuing to stand, and we need to believe that God's word is true. As I said before, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Think on these things. Don't dwell on the negative crisis, circumstance, situations that we're facing. I need to think on these things. Whatsoever is pure, lovely, just, virtuous. If there be any praise, if there be any good things, a good report, I need to think on these things. I am not going to allow myself to be pulled down by negativity that the world will perpetrate before us. I'm going to continue to speak and share hope to people that are hopelessly lost. We can be that encouragement. Can I hear an amen on that? All right, that's pretty good. And here's another scripture in Deuteronomy 7:17 through 19. It says that we need to remember what God did for us in the past. We need to recount how God has provided for us. I remember as a kid growing up, my dad was a preacher. There was five of us boys. We were on our little evangelistic tour. And I remember we were passing this huge truck. And all of a sudden, the power in our car failed and a car was coming head on. And all I remember, I was sitting in the front seat with my mom and dad. And all I remember my dad saying was, "Jesus!" And our car miraculously ended up on the other side of the lane, turned around facing the other direction. And there was a man coming across the field saying, "Your universal joint fell out back over here." I mean, we need to remember and rehearse and tell people of how God has provided and done supernatural things for us in the past so that we can promote hope and that God hears our cries. When we cry out for help, He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." We need to rehearse, as the scriptures talk about rehearsing those things. My dad would share, he lived up in the woods of Minnesota, way up past Duluth, Minnesota. He'd come into church and he'd walk 7 miles, you know, uphill both ways, right in the snowstorm. Well, anyway, he would walk in to catch a trolley to get into church. And he said he encountered a wolf up there one time that was on his trail when he was coming home from church one time. And he said, he pointed at this wolf and said, "In the name of Jesus." And that wolf stopped in his tracks, put his tail between his legs and turned around and ran the other way. Now, I'm going to believe my dad, right? He never lied to me or anything. But again, we need to remember how God has intervened for us in the past. And we need to reflect on that so when we're facing crisis situations now, we can remember that He didn't forsake us back then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to march on and we're going to go forth in victory. All right. Okay. We can go from this place encouraged in the Lord in spite of the crisis, in spite of the circumstances that we're seeing and that we're facing, that we can have hope in the Lord. And that our trust is in Him. And that we can be encouraged to encourage other people that are wandering aimlessly. How many know that we have aimless people that are no clue of what life is about? And you might be the only ray of hope that they'll ever see in their life. So I want to encourage you to stand strong and give the reason of the hope that lies within you. Love this closing verse here in Luke chapter 21. It says this: "No matter what you see, the circumstances around you, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near." We need to look up because our redemption draws near. And I don't know about you, you know, you read about the end time events and you think, are we in the end time events? I mean, how is that going to really look when we are in the actual end days? When the Bible says that good will be spoken of as evil, and evil will be spoken of as good. Are we seeing that today? I'm thinking, whoa, we've got some pretty crazy people in positions. So we need to be encouraged in the Lord, even though that these days that we live in, we need not to be. This hasn't surprised God any. You think that the Lord is surprised with all this? I don't think so. So we're His kids, right? So we need to put our faith and our trust in Him. Lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Your Word is encouraging to us. Even though we face circumstances and trials and situations that we think, God, where are You in this? We need to realize that the thief comes but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But You come to give us life, that we might have it more abundantly. I pray Your blessing upon each one here. Those that are even watching maybe by live stream. God, meet with them in their room, in their living room, on their computer, their laptops, wherever they may be. Maybe at work. Touch them. And may we put our trust in You. We love You, Lord. We thank You for this day. Thank You for Your Word. And I pray that Your people today would be encouraged. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.